Well, we have 9 more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the 10th tee?
On to the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
2 players down the middle on the 10th hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, welcome into the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper. Yeah, I'm just bummed that you couldn't make it down this weekend, Bob, because I was looking forward to being down the middle with you on the 10th hole at Black Desert Resort, yo. All 18 holes open today. Check out blackdesertresort.com. Book your tee time. Come down and check it out. Phil Smith, you heard him in hour number 1. He called it a perfect combination of Kona, Hawaii, and Sedona, Arizona. How good is that?
That's a great description.
Woo! Man, this thing is fun.
So you got all the lava rock on Kona, and you got the desert in Arizona.
Yeah. Put it all together, Southern Utah, St. George. Yep. This thing is a destination. You're going to want to check it out. BlackDesertResort.com. Come down and check out the whole experience. You know what I love about it, too? With your greens fees is included breakfast, snacks, and drinks while you're out on the golf course. You have to pay for your alcohol if you want that. If you want to go down that road. But you also get lunch afterwards, so it's a full experience. Ooh. Come pay your fees. Come and play. Enjoy the day. It's not a nickel and dime thing. Full service. It's great stuff. You're going to enjoy it. And we'll talk more about that coming up on hour number 3 for those of you on our flagship station, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Oh, still to come, our good friend Mike Weir, who is the current captain of the international team in the President's Cup. He's a major championship winner, 2003 Masters champ. He's won 8 times on the PGA Tour, and he's a winner on the Champions Tour. And he's out at the KitchenAid Senior PGA in Frisco, Texas. Wanted to get his thoughts on this golf course and some other thoughts on the PGA Championship. He joins us coming up next. Also, America's favorite caddy is still on tap. So it should be a fun hour. Hearing from Wiersey, hearing from the caddy, and talking more about Brooks Koepka and his win at the PGA Championship, as well as Michael Block and the Michael Block story that continues to evolve.
Yeah, Michael Block, there was a little outtaker cut of Paul Goidos. Of course, a winner on the PGA Tour. He's playing this week at the Senior PGA Championship. But he said Michael Block beats him with regularity when they go out and play. And he said, he beats me like a drum.
Mm.
And he said, this guy's a great player. He said, in a member guest, he shot 9 under par. And he just throws it down with regularity. So Michael Block is a great player, and probably the best player in the Southern California PGA.
Well, he has, I think, 9 of the last 10 years, and he certainly doesn't lack for confidence. He did mention if he had Rory's length, he'd be one of the best players in the world. You know what? I'm going to let that one go. Stay tuned. Hour number 2 continues next with our conversation with Mike Weir.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. We've been talking a lot about the PGA Championship last week and what a show it was in Rochester at Oak Hill. But the PGA of America rolls on again this week into Frisco, Texas for the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. And really pleased to be joined right now by one of the contestants and a guy that's had a lot of success in this event. He's played 2 of them, finished 4th and 5th respectively. He's an 8-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's a winner on the Champions Tour. He's 2003 Masters champion, and he's currently the international captain for the President's Cup. Mike Weir joining us right now. Where is he? How are you, man?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you guys?
Good. You know what? I had to take a breath, man. The introductions are getting long here. Congratulations on all that, man. That's awesome. What a great career so far. Just out of curiosity, what were your thoughts watching the PGA last week, especially what Michael Block was able to do as a club professional? It seemed to capture the whole golf world.
Yeah, it sure did. I tuned in on the weekend, to catch my country mate, Corey Connors. I was hoping he would have a little bit better Sunday. But so watching that and watching Michael Block and watching his game, obviously he's got a great game to finish in the top 15. But just the way he embraced it, I think it just gives a great boost to all the club pros that these guys can play too. You know, they're very good players, a lot of them, and they take their game seriously. You know, when they're not giving lessons and working the shop, they're working on their own games, and Michael showed that, and he's a very good player, and he's got you know, reaping the benefits, playing this week, playing the Canadian Open, and it was great TV. You know, I think it was a great championship.
You had a chance to play that golf course in a couple of PGA championships, Mike, and with the redesigned hit, it looked like it went to the next step as far as difficult.
It sure did. You know, it didn't look familiar to me from the last time I played there. I think it was 03 was the last PGA that I played. I didn't play the one, that Duffner one. I was injured and didn't play that one. So, yeah, it looked completely different. It did look very demanding. Obviously, the weather early in the week, you know, looked like high school golf in Utah. And, like in March or something out there, guys with their suits on and warm gloves and everything bundled right up. But, the venue looked great. I went to a hockey game with Brendan Little, who's my old caddy who caddies for Gary Woodland now, and I was asking about the course. He thought it was great. He thought the re-bunkering was great. He said it was pretty demanding.
Mike Weir joining us here. Just a quick comment on Brooks Koepka, a five-time major champion. You're a major champion. How impressive is it to join the ranks of, you know, the 20 guys that have won five or more major championships?
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, when he gets sniffed near that lead, you know, you can just tell he has the demeanor of a champion. He's calm when things aren't going well. He takes his time. He, you know, you can tell he's not rushed. You can just sense it through the TV that he's very comfortable in those positions. And, you know, the guys that have won multiple majors in their careers, you can see that they all have that in common, the sense of, you know, calmness under pressure. And he certainly has.
You know, Mike, this week is the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. And it's in the new home of golf for the PGA of America there in Frisco, Texas. Tell us a little bit about that facility. It's relatively new. And tell us a little bit about that golf course.
Yeah, it's an incredible facility that PGA of America has built. You know, I don't know the square footage of the practice fun putting green they have. They have a great range. They have a bar right off the range. This huge, big screen TV that people, all the fans, can interact with. It's a big golf course. You know, I think Gil Hans has thought that out well with the game being such a power game. He has a lot of tee boxes that you can push, stretch this thing out very, very long. It's going to be fairly long for us this week. And the course is growing. I mean, today was the second time I played it. You know, I wasn't sure about it yesterday when I played. I thought it was good, but the more I played it today, I liked it a little bit more. There's some interesting things off the tee as far as the tee boxes are very, very big. They kind of flow into the fairways, so to speak. They're how he's kind of built it. So there's a lot of kind of uneven lies on the tee boxes. So I don't know if they'll adjust that.
Lost you for just a second. Okay, Mike Weir joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So it is playing as a par 72. It looks like the card says 71-54. I'm guessing the wind is going to dictate the real length of that, huh?
Yeah, that's a great point. That is. It's going to be interesting how they set the course up. I'm not sure what the last couple of days. It's been a south wind. Not real strong, you know, 10 to 15. And doesn't sound like it's going to blow a lot over, but it is Texas. It can. It's pretty wide open. So if it does pick up and, start blowing out there, you know, it can be a tough test par. There'll be a lot of pars that'll be good and you won't see many birdies. But, you know, if the wind stays down a little bit, you can see some 5-6-unders out there. Somebody gets it going. So I think it's a great venue for us. It's a phenomenal facility. The whole facility is great. And, looking forward to getting started tomorrow.
Any unique things, Mike, about the golf course as far as the par threes or par fives, reachable, those types of things?
Yeah, the par fives are, you know, the 18th hole, reachable, pretty demanding tee shot, second shot kind of over water, along kind of the water. There's another par five on the back nine again that has a front and to the right of the on the back nine are, you know, very demanding par fours. There's some huge greens. There's some smaller greens. There's a little bit of everything out there. There's a lot of, you know, humps and bumps on the greens. There's a few greens that are fairly flatter. So, you know, it's kind of a combination of everything. So yeah, tune in and check it out. I mean, you'll see it. I'm sure it'll come off great on TV. It looks aesthetically, it's really, really pretty. And, you know, I think he did a nice job, of course.
Yeah, nice. Hey, Mike, nice pairing Thursday, 120. It's a major champions pairing alongside a pair of Open champion winners, Darren Clark and Justin Leonard. What do you think of those guys? Do you play much golf with them? And, you know, are you excited about that one?
Yeah, it's a great pairing. You know, I know those guys well. We're good friends. You know, us guys on the Champions Tour, we've known each other a long time. And, yeah, looking forward to it. We have fun. You know, a couple weeks ago in Birmingham, I got paired with Rob Hampling and Colin Montgomery the first couple of days. We had a lot of laughs. So it's fun. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Colin Montgomery. I remember I didn't like Monty because of the Ryder Cup, and he used to wax us back in the day. And that 2006 Open at U.S. Open at Winged Foot, I remember you were in contention that week. That was a really, yep, really hard week. And I remember Monty was right there, and I found out it was a press conference, and we sat down. I said, fine, I'll listen to Monty. And he won me over. He was so funny. I was crying. I was laughing so hard at Colin Montgomery, and I became a big fan of him after that. I mean, what a crack up.
He can be. Yeah, he can be. He can be dry, and we know how he can be a little bit surly sometimes and give those stare downs to the fans or something if someone moves wrong. But he's got a big heart, and he's a nice guy. And, you know, you just got to give him a little in there, and he cracks up. And so, yeah, he's fun to play with.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you taking a few minutes, wishing you the best. We won't bother you with President's Cup questions this early. We'll just let you focus on your championship, and we'll be watching. We'll be tuning in, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Mike.
There you go. Mike Weir joining us here on Real Golf Radio from Frisco, Texas. Be sure to check it out. The KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship this week, and should be an exciting weekend. Stay tuned. More of the show's next.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. At Real Golf is the Twitter handle. And right now it's time for America's.
There are bag rats. And then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour. While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper, here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Favorite caddy. Caddy joining us right now. Caddy, how are you?
I can confirm that I'm doing just fine.
All right, all right. Good for you. Serves you right.
That's because I'm in denial.
There he goes. Sounds like we're going to go down a path here if we're not careful. So,
is that the careful denial in Egypt?
There we go. I figured a dad Something joke like was that. On the horizon.
Something like that.
So, Caddy, PGA Championship recap as we look back on Oak Hill. I mean, Brooks Koepka, some pretty rare air, 20th guy to win five majors or more, and he just looked like he was in control that entire back nine. Nobody could really get close to him. He didn't let anybody get close to him. You know, we could talk about a lot of the things, you know, surrounding his kind of his attitude, his live affiliation, all those things. But take that out and just to recognize the amazing play it is for a guy to go out there and win five major championships at his age.
I agree. He didn't even let his wife get close to him. She was in another state.
Just needed some alone time, huh?
He was on a mission. Yeah, he played like we're used to seeing him playing when he's winning majors. He's obviously back to full health, and that was obviously, it just goes to show you in golf, it doesn't take much to go wrong to throw your game that far off as his was, but yeah, it's looking like now, gosh, what's he going to do for the next few years? Don't see him slowing down.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. He's a sixth player with five major wins. He joins Seve, James Braid, Byron Nelson, J.H. Taylor, and Peter Thompson. It's pretty impressive. And also, as a three-time PGA winner, he joins a couple of guys you may have heard of, Sam Snead and Gene Sarazen. For crying out loud, he's one behind Tiger Woods and two behind Nicholas and Hagen. I mean, those are legendary names in the game, and Koepka's put himself right there.
and he's got three more PGAs than Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson combined.
That's correct.
And Billy Casper.
And both those guys needed to get that PGA to get the career Grand Slam.
The Grand Salami. Yeah. That Grand Salami is pretty rare. What is it, five guys who have won it, I think? Or are there four? There's not many.
It's Ben Hogan. Five.
It's five.
Jack Tiger Ben, Gene Sarazen, and who else? Who am I missing?
Snead?
Nope.
Gary Player.
The US Open.
Oh, Gary Player.
Yeah.
Gary
Player. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm telling you, I've won 130 major championships, yes. Why did you not remember my name? Yes. Well, it's that time of year. It's the best time of year to play golf. June coming up. Best time of year to play golf because it's good everywhere. It's good everywhere.
Except maybe the desert.
And maybe the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, the desert's starting to cook. That's true. That's true.
But it's still good. It's still a good time of year to be in the desert as well. All right, so are you? Is that it? You're done talking about Brooks? That's why you went to the weather?
Well, let's see. Brooks played. He played just like you. He just played awesome. What can you say? He just looked like he ran into a little trouble there on 6 and 7, which is unusual. And he made bogeys, which is what you want to do. Don't make the double. And I will say this, though. The bunker shot on 11, even though he missed the putt, I believe he missed the putt, right, on the par 3. But that could have been a double where that ball ended up. And that was one heck of a bunker shot to have a putt within 30 or 40 feet. I thought that was impressive. And, you know, you could say it all turned on 16 when the power hitter was able to basically hit the same tee shot as Hovland did, but he's a little stronger.
Carried
it over the bunker and double and birdie and game over. Game over.
That's all she wrote. Yep.
A little bit of power helps.
So his bad round was in the first round where he shot two over. Then he came back with four under, and three under to get to nine, which was the winning score. Whereas compared to Scottie Scheffler was leading the golf tournament after two rounds. Sorry. And his bad round came with a 73 in the second round.
Saturday.
Or in the third round, right. But came back with 65. Thoughts on Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland? Both those guys finished second, two shots back. And I think it's just a matter of time for Victor Hovland. And Scottie's going to be picking up another one soon, I would think.
Scottie kind of seems... I think if you looked at his performance, you're kind of thinking, like, this guy's kind of playing like Jack Nicklaus because he's either winning or finishing second or third, and he's not necessarily looking like he played that well when he finished second or third, which is the scary part.
Yeah.
You see him leaving a lot of stuff out there, right? Like the start on Sunday, could have birdied one and two right off the bat, and he didn't. And then he makes a bunch of birdies later and ends up... I will share a little something interesting. So I texted Ted Scott on Sunday morning, and I said in the text, I said, there's a 65 out there, and I wonder who's going to shoot it. So I gave him a little prediction on Scotty, and he replied back, I hope it's a Johnny Miller 63. And when it was all said and done, he shot 65 and he lost by two. And I texted him back and I said, Teddy, if you're nice to me next time, I'll predict a 63 for you.
You know what?
He had it on the nose, didn't he?
Yeah, nice job. He did. I mean, so it was interesting as reading in the notes that ties his career low score in a major. He also shot 65 in the third round of the PGA back in 2020. So, you know, I mean, that's 65s in majors aren't easy to shoot, obviously.
No,
there's not a whole lot of people who have shot a 65 in a major. If you add it up, I don't think there's not a whole lot in that group. So yeah, Scotty's just good. Hovland. Hovland's interesting. I think Hovland, and this wasn't my idea. I can't claim this one, but I will. I think Hovland's a good pick at the US Open this year. give you a couple reasons why real quick, because we're not really doing the U.S. Open preview yet. But Hovland's, what's Hovland's weak link? It's his chipping around the green, right?
Yeah.
That's considered it. Well, you guys played recently. You can't get it up and down when you miss greens near those bunkers, unless you're in a bunker at LA North right now. That rough around those greens is Dustin Johnson's going to have relapses at Pebble Beach when he sees that rough. And so if, you know, maybe that's to Hovland's advantage because no one's going to get him up and down. So, and he's a good iron player, which is another requirement. Don't hit him in the grass. Right. And so anyway, just an early call.
Yeah. All right. I like the early call. Caddy joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Back one last comment on Brooks. 4 for 5 in converting 54 hole leads or co-leads in a major. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? I mean, the Masters, the last Masters was the only time he'd coughed it up.
Yeah.
4 for 5. I mean, that's like Tiger. That's the kind of stuff Tiger did, right? When he got in position, just no one was beating him. And I don't know how long I can't remember what Tiger's record was when. Do you remember off the top of your head when?
I think he was like 12-0.
Was he 12-0 when Yang got him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12-0 or 13-0 when Yang got him.
Yeah, it's
remarkable. Yang was the only guy who Tiger, well, the only one Tiger didn't win with the lead going into the final round.
Yeah.
Was Yang. That was it. So Brooks Koepka's Masters record is ridiculous. He's the craziest thing about The craziest thing about his majors record is that he hasn't won 25 tour events.
Mm. Yeah, he's only won 9 total.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like 9's not a whole lot, but a guy who wins 5 majors, you're expecting 20 plus easy, if not 30. Right,
it's weighted heavy when you've got more major wins than regular tour wins, 5-4. Right, that's what you're saying.
Oh yeah,
it's usually 5-1 the other way around.
Right.
No matter what you say about, you know, maybe he just doesn't care in tour events and they're kind of warm ups for him, or he doesn't focus the same, or whatever it is. It's hard to imagine he wouldn't have sneezed into a few more or fallen backwards into a few more, the way he can play. In the his majors records is crazy in every major. I don't know about how about the Open Championship? Does he have a good record? I don't even know. I know Masters PGA US Open records are spectacular.
The 3-2. Yeah, he's got 5 of those two, and then he's got the Masters where he's a runner up.
Yeah. So he's an impressive player. And
do you think he makes a Ryder Cup team?
100%.
Yeah, done. Book him, Dano.
Book him, Dano. He's on the Ryder Cup team. I don't know how you could leave. I mean, if you had to pick him, if someone finished 2-1 this year in two majors, how do you leave him off the Ryder Cup team?
Well, Zach Johnson initially said that if the guys need to make it through points, and then it comes down to the picks, and you don't want to be on the other side of the picks. So, you know, he, by virtue of his win last week, he jumps up to number 2 in the Ryder Cup points list right now, with a lot of golf to play and a few more majors too. And we're going to see him in those majors.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the team. And I also predict that he probably will never win another tour event. So we'll stop at 9.
That's a good point. Not another tour
unless
event.
He wins another major.
Well, yeah, that's true. It would count as a tour win with the major. But to the caddy's point.
Does that count as a tour? Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
5 of the 9 are majors, but yes. Yeah,
gotcha. You know what I mean.
Hey, real quick, your thoughts before we run out of time. Michael Block, I mean, the guy stole the story last week. I mean, he was unbelievable. Captured the hearts of the fans. That the way his final round. I mean, are you kidding me? He actually slam dunks a hole-in-one on Sunday, playing with Rory McIlroy. I mean, on top of everything else, right? The fact that he made the cut for the first time. Then he gets top 15 with an incredible up and down on the final hole. But then he's got that little cherry on top with a freaking ace. I mean, it was remarkable what he did. It was fun to watch. I think that's the kind of thing you can only, I guess, hope for as an organizer of an event, is to have that kind of a thing going down.
But what most people don't know, and nobody's bringing up, which is amazing me, is that clearly, no question, he is Club Pro guy. Gotta be. Gotta be. I mean, he's done everything else. He probably has a Superman cape in his closet. So he's got to be Club Pro guy. That's what I'm saying. He's the guy. He's the one.
He's the one.
He looks like Tabasco shirt or whatever that is. I love Tabasco, by the way. Avery,
Tabasco's good.
Thank you so much, Avery.
Do you like Frank's?
Frank's?
Yeah.
As in Frank's and beans?
No, Frank's red pepper sauce. Kind of like Tabasco. It's really good.
I've never had it.
Is this kind of like when in Three Amigos when they said what's tequila and the guy's like it's like beer? Is that what you're saying? You're like it's like Tabasco.
Tabasco. Like, I'd like a Dr. Pepper. We have root beer.
How good was that scene, though? That Three Amigos scene. That was so, how good was
it's
that?
Like beer.
I mean, they all take a big shot of it, and then the boots come upside. Oh, such a great show. Anyway, Caddy, what do you say? It was sort of predictable, right, that he comes out Thursday, shoots the high score. I didn't know he'd shoot 81, but I think I said, you know, watching, he's going to shoot 78, 74 and miss the cut. But it's one thing for a guy like that to do what he's got to
be worn out.
Yeah, but the mental and the physical fatigue of what he did last week to roll it on in and try to do it again this week. I mean, that's where these guys are just different cats, right? These tour players to be able to do that week in, week out.
He's 46 years old. He needs to sleep. He needs to rest. He's an old man.
But not only did he get in this week at Colonial, he also gets in for the Canadian Open.
Yep, that'll be a good golf course for him.
I was just a little upset the guys were piling on and, you know, bad-mouthing him for shooting 81 at Colonial. Look, I mean, I get it, right? It's his 15 minutes of fame. The guy earned it, and, you know, that stuff happens. It's kind of almost predictable, but it doesn't diminish what he did last week.
No.
In any way at all, so. Let him live it out.
When the gladiator steps the ring, it is understood that with glory, there is also the risk of the other side.
Wow.
Well, and how many guys on tour have you seen go out and win a golf tournament or win a major championship and there's a big letdown? I mean, basically he won his major last week, finishing 15th and knowing that he gets to go back again and play again next year at Valhalla in the PGA Championship. But like you said, Brian, there's got to be some fatigue and there's got to be some letdown.
Yeah, there's no question.
Well, let's look at it this way. What won the PGA Championship? -9 at a brutal golf course. What won Colonial last year? -9. Okay.
-9.
Now, golf course. It's a very difficult golf course. It's an awesome golf course. He's 46 years old. He doesn't do this regularly. He's really tired. He probably should be sleeping right now. It's not surprising. It would have been a lot of tour players who might have won the PGA might come out the next week and shoot a 73 or 74 or whatever in this situation. So I think it's look, people like this, you know, people like to put you on the pedestal and then tear you down. So that's just how sports works and people work, and you got to take the good with the bad.
That's like one of the worst things that I've heard you say, but it's true. It's unfortunate.
It is true. It's just stating the fact.
Yeah. No, I'm not accusing you. I'm not throwing it on you, but you speak the truth, and that's the sad truth.
Yep.
About our society that way. Sad truth.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is and isn't. I was talking with one of my buddies today, and we were, you know, going through this whole thing and kind of watching him play, and we talked about it. We said, you know, the funny thing is it's totally different if you're out there, if you're caddying for him, if you were in the tournament, if you're playing, sports fans are, you get tough on your, you get sports fans are tough on the players and the teams and stuff. That's just what you do as a sports fan, right? I mean, Chip Beck might not, but everybody else does get down on the sports teams and players and give them a hard time. And that's just part of the deal, part of the game.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, good stuff, Caddy. Always good to visit with you, and we'll chat with you again.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, the deep thank you, gentlemen. How about that?
Yes.
You mixed up the tone a little bit there. Yeah, wow.
Baritone.
All right, there you go. That was America's favorite caddy. Hope you enjoyed that. Got kind of covered a lot of topics. We'll wrap up his thoughts and more next as the show continues here on Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you here on Real Golf Radio. It's brought to you in part by Callaway Golf and the new Paradigm Driver. Family of drivers, really. You've got the Paradigm X, and the Triple Diamond. And I'll tell you what, I've played enough rounds of golf now with it. By the way, I said the same thing after the first three rounds. It's the best driver I've ever hit.
There you go.
It's amazing. Bob, it's unreal. You got to check out Paradigm. If you haven't taken it for a test drive, you got to do it. Paradigm, check it out, CallawayGolf.com. I mean, it's the sound of it is intoxicating. The distance is kind of blows your mind a little bit, and it's pretty accurate, right? I mean, like I'm hitting a lot of fairways, which is encouraging to me. So, and the ball flight, I love how the Triple Diamond really brings the spin down. Typically, that bringing the spin down, though, comes with the side effect of being less forgiving, but right. That's not the case with this Triple Diamond. So it's definitely more of a playable Triple Diamond than some of the Triple Diamond drivers in the past from Callaway. Check it out, CallawayGolf.com and the new Paradigm driver. All right, so wow, that was some good stuff. You heard the caddy. You heard from Mike Weir. Appreciate both of them for joining us here on hour number two. We're going to talk more about Black Desert Resort coming up on hour three for those of you on our flagship station, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone in Salt Lake City, Utah. You can go to their app if you would like to listen to hour number three for Outside the Market. Sure to check that out. Be continuing a live conversation here at Black Desert with the opening of the 18 holes. So super good stuff there. But let's go back to Michael Block. So he did what he did. He did all the interviews. He was on all the TV networks. He was on all the radio shows, all the podcasts. And he gets the text from Michael Jordan. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, so how does Michael Jordan get everybody's contact information? Like, is there a celebrity like hotline where you just say, hey, credentials, six rings, greatest of all time. Can I get a contact information for? It's like the old, you know, it's like the old dial-up directory. Yeah, for California, Michael Block, and they give you the. I don't know how those guys.
So he could have gone about it one of two ways. He could have called the club and got it.
So the club's just gonna ways. The club's just gonna hand out people's personal information if you call up.
If it's Michael Jordan,
so that's that's my point. So you say this is Michael Jordan? Or, sure, it is.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah. Okay. Or he could have called Nike got it.
I'm pretty sure that's how that went down. Yeah.
Or he could have called the PGA of America and got it.
And you think PGA of America's got the bat phone with MJ too?
I would think so.
I just thought it was, look, it's completely irrelevant. I just thought it was funny. Maybe somebody else had that thought, like, okay, I had a text from Michael Jordan. Like, how does MJ get everybody's number? Anyway, and then
MJ can get anybody's number.
Anyway, Monica Sorenstam set, nice little video with her chatting with him. 20th anniversary of her playing at Colonial.
Correct.
At the time, she was the first woman to play on the PGA on a PGA Tour event in 58 years. And they chatted it up a little bit. So that was cool. Like, he went through the energy that he went through. It was no surprise at all that he shoots 81 in the opening round. Here's what he had to say after that round.
If you are a golfer, you've had the day I had, and you understand the facts of where the lies aren't good and the trees are in your way every time, and even your good shots are bad, your bad shots are worse, and et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to live with it. I thought it was going to happen that third or fourth round last week at Oak Hill, and never happened, right? And so it happened now, and I wasn't surprised by it, to tell you the truth, because the experience I had last week was next level, right? And so today, coming out here and not having my game at all and having a lot of bad luck or whatever you might call it, just call it golf. And it is what it is. And then at the same time, I sat there and I thought about it. I said, I'm going to see my boys tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to coming out tomorrow, playing a great round, giving it everything I have. I've shot 58 and I've shot a 59 in my life. And since what I had today, I wouldn't be surprised if I did it. So if I do, cool. If not, I'll be cheersing to my kids and my wife tomorrow morning or tomorrow night in Orange County, California. So it's all good. One way or the other.
I mean, there's so much there, right? There's so much. You know what? We love you, Michael Block. Yeah, you probably cringed when he dropped the 58 and 59 comment. That's okay. You probably cringed in the podcast that he did when he said that if he had Rory's length, that's the only thing Rory has on him is length. And if he had Rory's length, he'd be one of the best players in the world. Okay. You can bristle at all that stuff, but you got to love the everything else, right? I mean, he gets emotional about seeing his boys and his wife. And, you know, look, he hasn't even had a chance to celebrate him with them yet from what happened last week.
That's right.
And you got to love the fact that he's like, it's just golf. I mean, call it what you want. Call it golf. That's it. And we've all had it. And the one of the biggest challenges of this game, Bob, you could tell me more, but to me, one of the biggest challenges is accepting that regardless of what your potential is, you are going to suck some days, like really bad. And you just have to accept it. And it's hard. Some people just can't accept it and drives people to do stupid things.
Well, and not only that, but being a golfer, especially when you have a family, especially when you got friends, everything, there's lots of expectations. And the last thing you want to do is disappoint other people. So you got that going on in your mind, as well as just being on the golf course and playing golf and trying to perform the best that you can be. So, but, you know, as he said, he's going to go home to his wife and his two boys. Think of the party and soiree they're going to have there at his club with all of the members. When he made that hole in one, everybody was screaming and yelling, and, you know, they had video of that too. It's going to be a big hoopla when he gets home, and it's well deserved.
I don't take anything away from him. You got to ride that, man. You got a little chance at fame. Just go ahead and ride it. For the better and worse, right?
Right.
Like the caddy said, the gladiator gets into that ring and arena, and you're going to get both the cheers and the jeers. That's just part of it, right?
That's exactly.
Hey, Brooks Koepka, 5-time major champion, 9-time winner on the PGA Tour. The guy is doing some things that is more than impressive. When you look at the fact that he's now 4 of 5 with a 54-hole lead or co-lead in a major championship, the one that he kind of coughed up was at the Masters earlier this year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's some closer kind of stuff. That's some big boy golf. And he joins some big names. He's now joining, as we talked about with the caddy, Seve Ballesteros, Byron Nelson, Peter Thompson, some of these guys that have won 5 major championships. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, you know, great golf, and great golf in major championships is what he's all about and then what he thrives on. It almost seems like he could care less about the others. He wants to shine in the majors, and he loves that environment and that atmosphere. And he feels like he said it a few years ago. He said he feels like he can win, or it's easier for him to win in majors because he feels like he can deal with the pressure better than the other guys, that it's new to them, but it's not new to him.
Yeah, that's a comment that didn't really sit well with a lot of people either, but, you know, that Brooks doesn't care. That's the one thing. We don't have time to develop more of this, unfortunately. We'll continue talking about it down the road. But hats off, nothing but respect for what Brooks did with a 2-shot win and 9-under on a very difficult Oak Hill Country Club. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show next.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Just a reminder, Twitter handle is @RealGolf. You can also download the show or the segments that we've done, wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Thanks for accessing us and listening to Real Golf Radio. We had Phil Smith on. I thought that was a really good listen. If you missed that, I would highly recommend it. A 20-minute conversation about a golf course design. Chatted with Mike Weary, gave us some insights on the new golf course there at Frisco, Texas. Apparently there's some, you know, maybe some comments about the tee boxes. I don't know if you saw John Daly's. That knee was not looking good, JD. I don't know if it was all tee boxes, though. But, we enjoyed the conversation with Weirzy, America's favorite caddy, as well. Hey, coming up on hour number 3, if you're listening on our flagship station, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone in Salt Lake City, Utah, we'll continue live from Black Desert Resort, the grand opening That's not really the grand opening, but it is the opening of the full 18 holes of the Tom Weisskopf Championship design. We're going to talk more about that next. Ryan Karchner is the director of golf, and he is going to join us to chat a little bit more about Black Desert, the experience there, and some of the other projects, including the Tiger Woods course that they have going up in Park City. The snow's finally melted enough to get some earth movers up in there, and that's going well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
But, that'd be good.
Putting a bow on it, hats off to Brooks Koepka. Thanks to Michael Block for making it fun. And hope he has some time to just decompress and enjoy it. And, you know, nothing but love there. What else can you say? Stuff just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I'm excited about what's going forward with the majors that are coming up, but also the Ryder Cup, too, because Captain Zach Johnson's going to have some interesting things that he needs to work out with his team and his picks.
Yeah, there's no question. That, you know, how's that all going to mesh and how's it all going to come together? We will watch as it plays out. Thanks to Dave Glauser, our producer. For Bob, I'm Brian. We'll see you next week here on Real Golf Radio.